Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Jerome Anthony and you're tuned in to Simply Save, our weekly podcast on managing your money. With me is Money Control personal finance editor Kezad Adijania, who's going to be talking to us on how people in the 60s should, you know, manage their money.
You're listening to a podcast on Money Control.
Hi and welcome to the show, Kezad.
Hi, Jerome. Good to be back.
Kezad, with our life stage financial planning, we've got, I've been telling you, we've been getting good responses on social media. So, I'm in my 60s. I'm retired. How do I take care of my cash flow?
Okay. So, one thing is that you're normal, you're no longer working, right?
Right.
I mean, so your normal salary has come to a halt.
Right.
But your expenses will not come to a halt. In fact, your expenses will go up only as the years go by because, you know, you have your healthcare, medical expenses also will go up. Inflation, obviously, will keep inching up as it always has been. Mm-hmm. But in the absence of a regular salary income, you still need some kind of a regular income every month to meet your expenses. Okay.
Right.
So normally, you know, there's a small solution that we tell people that, you know, you invest, you would have invested in mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a tool called SWP. It's called Systematic Withdrawal Plan. Okay. Like, you know, we've always spoken about SIP. That's
yes.
a systematic investment plan.
Yes.
So you systematically invest a fixed sum of money every month. Here, what you do is that after 60, you may not have the wherewithal to do with SIP because SIP requires you to put your money at regular interest. If you're not earning, where are you going to generate that money to put? Over here, now it reverses. The flow reverses. It's called SWP, so Systematic Withdrawal Plan. Enroll that with your mutual fund. And then every month, a fixed set of units are withdrawn.
Okay.
And you get that money in your hand. So it's like you're getting a fixed amount of withdrawals. You're making a fixed amount of withdrawals and you're getting money in your hand. But obviously for that to have happened, you should have invested a regular sum of money or a sizable sum of money throughout your working life.
Right. Kezad, again, I'll be asking you a question that we've asked in practically every financial state planning podcast. Making a will, how important is it when I'm in the 60s, if I haven't made one?
If you haven't made one, then you better make one right now before it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, will making an estate planning in your 60s is extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you haven't made one already, then, you know, when are you going to make if not now? So, you know, that's always a thing. So, make a will. Like make an inventory of what all assets do you have. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what jewelry you have or how much cash you have in bank accounts, how many bank accounts you have, what are your investments, make a list of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And as far as possible, articulate that, all of that in a will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some financial planners, you know, tell us that even if jewelry that you have, what you do is take pictures of your jewelry. That way you can make an inventory so that, you know, when you pass on your jewelry to your future generations,
mm-hmm.
they know exactly what you're talking about, which piece of jewelry is bequeathed to whom and which of your children. If there is a corresponding photograph matching with your inventory, it's all the more easier for you to do that.
Right.
So this is actually a financial planner called Gaurav Mashrawala. He is a regular at Money Control show. So he had basically told me this, which I had never heard of. I never even thought of, you know, photographing your jewelry.
Right.
But it's important. It helps you better plan your succession. So those things you need to do, and better do it now if you haven't done it already.
Speaking of assets, what about real estate? Your succession is there. Mostly children today are traveling out of the country. I mean, you know, they're settling abroad. What do I do if I have property, and what exactly should I be doing with that?
Okay, so that's a very good question. Basically, Indians love accumulating real estate and gold as well. Okay, so we've spoken about gold. But to answer your question on real estate, what happens, as you said, if you have already accumulated, let's say, two or three flats or houses or plots of land or whatever that you want, that you have safeguarded for your kids, for your children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many of the kids these days, they go abroad, they settle, and they don't want to come back. So, passing on real estate to your children is going to be very tricky because they have to then come over here, try and liquidate your real estate, try and sell your real estate.
Which can be time consuming.
Which can be time consuming, correct. And also, you know, you may not fetch the price that it ought to have fetched
at
that particular point in time. So it's very cumbersome. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of time. They don't have so much of time to do that, and it's hassling also. Mm-hmm. Better liquidate your assets, sell whatever assets that you had earmarked for maybe your children or maybe for your as an investment that you may have done it for yourself also many years ago. Mm-hmm. But when you're in your 60s, I would suggest that you sell any excess real estate that you have, generate the cash, and then earmark that cash in your wills that this is what I want to pass on to my children after I die and all that sort of thing.
Quite interesting, Kezad. Now we've decided, like, you know, we have our property in place, we have our assets in place, but for one's self, should they continue working or look for an opportunity to work?
Why not? Why not? See, it all depends on individual to individual. Okay. Right. So if you are comfortable in leading a retired life per se and doing very little of routine kind of office kind of work and all that, mm-hmm. it's okay. Mm-hmm. But it's easier said than done, because again, this is something that many financial planners have told me anecdotally, mm-hmm. That they have seen many of their clients looking forward to retirement. But when they retire, mm-hmm. you know, for the first 1 year, okay, you travel, you do nothing, you watch television, you read books, you see a lot of movies and all that, and you pass time and you're glad that you're away from the rat race. But mm-hmm. after 1 year, after 2 years, what happens? Mm-hmm. Okay, boredom sets in, then you sort of become dull. So that also can happen. You kind of pick fights with your spouse, with your kids. It's practical. I've seen that happening with my own eyes elsewhere. Okay. So the thing is that it all depends on how you can handle your retirement. That's number one. Number two is that if you can work in a consulting, on a consulting basis, or if you have a skill mm-hmm. which can be passed on to future generations, you can become a consultant, you can become a teacher. Many people do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. It keeps you busy. It keeps your mind occupied mm-hmm. and it gives you some income. You don't work after 60s for money. You work after 60s to keep yourself busy mm-hmm. and more relevant.
Right.
And just basically occupied, because healthy mind leads to a lot of other good things in life.
Fair, quite fair. And yes, so we do recommend people should work. But now, if you're generating an income even after retirement, should you invest in equities? Should you risk it at that age?
So first things first, you should do your tax planning after 60s, okay, mm-hmm. because suddenly your level of income drops, mm-hmm. okay. So what happens is that your tax brackets also change. So if you come in a no tax bracket, then you can let's say afford to invest in fixed deposits, which would have otherwise taxed you if you would have been in the income tax bracket. And fixed deposits are safe also. So from a retired perspective, we don't normally suggest fixed deposits for a very young chap, right. because this is the earning bracket, tax bracket. It's tax. So, but for retired people, it could be a good option. So I'm saying work out your tax brackets first mm-hmm. and accordingly, then you can space out your investments. To answer your specific question, equities, yes, I would recommend equities. Whether you are a 20-year-old or a 50-year-old or a 70-year-old, you should have equities. Okay. The proportion of equities would be lower than, let's say, in your 50s or 40s or 30s, but yes, you should invest in
minimize the risk and park more in the bank.
Yeah, you can park in the bank, you can park in tax-free bonds also.
Okay.
Tax-free bonds are also very attractive.
Right, right.
You can buy tax-free bonds from the market also.
Okay.
Or you can buy when there are primary issues also, depending on what your financial planner best advises you. Equities definitely. Equity mutual funds, definitely. Okay. And some bit in debt mutual funds also, but liquid funds and low risk funds, basically.
Okay. All right, Kezad, we have a query from one of our readers who wants to know how to take care of medical bills if they don't have insurance. I know we've discussed insurance is extremely important and you should, the earlier you get yourself insured, the better.
Hmm.
But once you hit your 60s and you realize, damn, I don't have any insurance, what do you do?
So, well, it's unfortunate that you had not bought your medical insurance so far.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a sizable corpus, I'm assuming that you have a sizable chunk of corpus in your hand by the time you retire, but somehow because of negligence, you did not buy a health insurance policy. Mm-hmm. So no matter, one step number one, try and buy a base health insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
if you can afford to pay the premium.
Okay.
Because remember, as we've always told you, the premium goes up at your as your age goes up.
Right.
So in your 60s, obviously the premium is going to be very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Your income is also limited. So if you can afford to pay a premium for a policy, buy that. If you cannot do that, then there is another product called a top-up health insurance policy.
Okay.
So you can buy a top-up health insurance policy. I'll tell you quickly what is a top-up if you have the time.
Yes, please.
Right. So we have a base policy. Let's say if you're let's say insured for, let's say, 5 lakh rupees. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I want to buy another base policy of 5 lakh, it's going to cost me very much.
Right.
Okay. But a top-up policy comes with a very less premium.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I buy a top-up policy of 10 lakh health insurance.
Okay.
This is a 5 lakh base cover.
Right.
Top-up policy is of 10 lakh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the top-up policy will come with a condition.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with a condition says that deductible is 5 lakh. Which means that if my medical bills are 10 lakh rupees and if I present my top-up policy to my insurance,
mm-hmm.
they will say, okay, you first pay 5 lakh rupees on your own.
Okay.
Then we will come and pay you 5 lakh rupees. So, top-up policy usually adds as an add-on to your base policy.
Okay.
But suppose if you don't have your base policy at all,
mm-hmm.
then what will you do with a top-up policy? I'm assuming that you have some of your own money to spend,
mm-hmm.
which you have accumulated,
mm-hmm.
to take care of, let's say, a medical expenses up to a certain limit, let's say 5 lakh rupees.
Mm-hmm.
After that, your top-up policy can be activated. If my medical expenses are, let's say, more than 5 lakh, I'll activate my top-up policy.
Mm-hmm.
They will deduct 5 lakh rupees from that because they say you pay the first 5 lakh and the balance we will pay.
Right.
So, that is, top-up policy can be used to sort of cover your medical needs if you do not have a base health insurance policy by that time.
Kezar, thank you so much for your valuable insights.
My pleasure, Jero.
Kezar, now that we conclude our life stage planning series, what can our viewers expect next?
Special situations. Financial planning for special situations.
All right.
I'm not giving you any more details. You'll have to tune in to the next episode.
Sounds good. Yes, I'm looking forward to it. And I hope our listeners too. If you have any queries, if you want to ask anything about life stage planning, you can still send us an email on mcpodcast@nw18.com. I'd repeat that. It's mcpodcast@nw18.com. Stay tuned till we come up with the next episode next week on Tuesday. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thanks for listening.